Before we begin tonight, let's bow our heads. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for these students. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be on this campus and to go throughout each day as a family here, not just getting an education for our future here on earth, but getting an education for eternity, learning more about you and making important choices that are going to affect the rest of our lives. As we begin our week of spiritual emphasis, Lord, I just pray that you send your Holy Spirit. We're praying for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that this week will be the difference that we need, that this week we will each come into contact with you and encounter you in new ways, Lord. So send your Holy Spirit now. Amen. All right, let me test out this clicker here. Nope. Yes. So what's the story? What is the story? The essence of life is encountering the story that I'm a part of. What's the bigger picture? What is the context in which I'm living? Tonight, I've got a story. I started preparing for this. What is this story that we're all a part of? And I was looking for an illustration. What might life be like if we had no sense of who we really are and what we're a part of? So I came across this story here. It takes place in the jungle of Uganda, and it was recorded by the BBC about 25 years ago. And there's different accounts when you look for it online. There's a couple different variations to the story, but the gist goes like this. Deep in the jungle of Uganda, a woman ventured away from her village, just like she did most days, to look for firewood so she could prepare a meal for her family. And as she wandered out on this particular day, she went further into the jungle than she had gone in quite some time because, you know, when you're looking for firewood, you're looking for that dead wood that's ready to burn. So you have to look for what's already fallen down, and everything had been collected near her village, and so she went out further. She kept going and looking and looking, and as she walked, she saw the scenery that she normally saw. She heard the sounds that she normally heard. The little animals scurrying here and there, the bugs, the birds, the wind blowing through the tops of the trees. And then as she went through a particularly thick part of the forest and went into a clearing, she saw a family of monkeys. And in those monkeys, all of a sudden, she realized that something was out of place. And her eyes focused on a little boy. A boy, a little child, about 5 or 6 years old, out in the middle of the jungle with this family of monkeys. And as she observed, she realized that the little boy was actually interacting with the monkeys quite comfortably. He would pick up the fruit that the monkeys would drop and eat it. He would go and collect the bugs just like the monkeys would and eat them. He was actually making the sounds that the monkeys were making too. And he seemed quite comfortable. But the woman recognized that the child was dirty and hadn't been taken care of in quite some time. So she started to creep a little bit closer, just edged closer and closer and reached out her hand to the little boy. And all of a sudden, the monkeys surrounded the boy and started throwing sticks at the woman. The woman was perplexed. She realized she kept trying to get closer, but the monkeys wouldn't have it. And the little boy inched away from her in fear. So she realized that she wasn't going to be able to take care of this little boy and get him back to safety. She had to go back to the village for some reinforcements. So she went back to the village and told them, there's a little boy out in the woods, and I need your help. We need to go get him. So they went out, and when they found the little boy and they attempted to take him away, the little boy was terrified. And he started hurling sticks at the villagers and climbed up into a tree to try to escape. All they were trying to do was rescue him. All they were trying to do was take him back to their village and get him cleaned up, get a good meal in his stomach, but he wouldn't have it. Finally, slowly but surely, they were able to get him back. They rescued him, took him back to the village, fed him, clothed him, and loved and cared for him just like every little boy should be at that age and at that stage. And they tried to talk to him, but he had no language. He couldn't respond. And so as time went on, they realized that they started asking around to the different villages, asking, do you know about this boy? What happened? Where did he come from? And what they pieced together was that this little boy, his mother had died in a fire in the hut. And the father, shortly after, had been killed in the civil unrest that was going on at that time. And the little boy went missing one day. He went missing. And as they pieced the story together, they realized no one had seen him in 3 or 4 years. They hadn't seen him, and he had become accustomed to living with his family of monkeys. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it must have been like for him? For the little boy, actually, it seemed quite normal, right? It seemed normal for him to be living with these monkeys out in the woods. He had picked up their lifestyle habits, he had picked up their ways, and he had even learned to communicate with them. And then these humans, who he actually was meant to live with, when they came to help him, he was terrified because he didn't recognize that his reality in life had become so warped. Has that happened to us? Has that happened to us? Can you identify? Are you piecing together this illustration? The essence of life is encountering the story that we're a part of. And so often, we get sidetracked from that story. We get sidetracked in our daily lives. But what we've realized, what I've come to recognize, is that happiness and fulfillment depends on how we decide to plug in to that story. When I start losing perspective on what's going on in the world around me, when I start losing perspective on the bigger picture, that's when I start experiencing confusion and loneliness and guilt and disillusionment and lack of purpose, right? But when we encounter the story that we're actually a part of, we are able to find our purpose. We're able to find our meaning in this universe. So what is the context we're living in? What is the story? What is the backstory? Tonight, we set the stage for the rest of the week. We set the stage for all of the topics to come. We are going to begin tonight before our beginning, before our time on Earth began. We begin by establishing that life existed before our world even came into existence. Psalms 92. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I don't know about you, but that makes me, when I consider that, my mind really has to stretch to imagine that God existed from everlasting, way before we even became people and our world became real, to everlasting, eternity into the future, far before our world began. There was an entire history before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, before the world was created, there was God. And being far greater than the limits of our imagination, a creator who had the resources, the power, and the ability to make the universe function however he desired. Okay, so I don't know about you, but sometimes I imagine what it would be like to have the money of a billionaire, to have the power of a president, and to have the ingenuity of a genius. What would that be like? What would you do with that kind of money, smarts, and power? Think about it for a minute. I personally would guess that you guys would probably try to create this idealistic world, right? Where you surround yourself with all of your favorite things. You live in the most beautiful place, and you probably just surround yourself with a bunch of people that you like and you enjoy spending time with, right? You perfect setting, utopia, right? I mean, surely if you could control it, you would. You'd control the world to be perfect and avoid all of that unpleasantness, all of that pain, all of that suffering, right? That sounds pretty good. That sounds good to me. So back to this money, power, smarts thing. You know, we don't have that, but there was someone who did, right? You guys already know it. It was God. He had the power. He had the resources. He had everything he needed to set up this perfect utopia. And if anyone could dominate the universe, if anyone could micromanage and control everything, it would be God. But you know what? Here's the key, you guys. He gave up total control. He gave up that micromanaging ability in order to have real and genuine relationship with you and me. That's what he wanted more than anything else. And he knew that it would come potentially with consequence, right? He knew that there would be, it wouldn't be perfect, but he knew that he could have real relationship. So God's kingdom was built on this freedom. So when he stooped down to create Adam from the dust of the Garden of Eden, when he stooped down, he could have programmed Adam's heart and his mind to do exactly what he wanted, exactly act just so, act just say these things, and love him just perfectly. He could have ensured perfect harmony. He could have ensured that we would all do exactly as he wanted and nothing would ever go wrong. But if he did that, he would have created humans that were more robot-like, right? Robot-like, without the ability to choose. So instead, he chose to create intelligent human beings. He decided to create you and to create me with the ability to choose, with the ability to choose him or to choose another way. So God, from the beginning, desired this genuine relationship, and his kingdom was built on that freedom. But of course, that had to come with some consequences, right? There were checks and balances, rather, okay? There had to be checks and balances. There had to be a way. And here we see that principles of cause and effect had to come into play. Okay, I want to read you this excerpt from Patriarchs and Prophets. It's pieced together from pages 48 and 49. Our first parents, though created innocent and holy, were not placed beyond the possibility of wrongdoing. God made them free moral agents, capable of appreciating the wisdom and benevolence of his character and the justice of his requirements, and with full liberty to yield or to withhold obedience. God placed man under law as an indispensable condition of his very existence. He was a subject of the divine government, and there can be no government without law. God might have created man without the power to transgress his law. He might have withheld the hand of Adam from touching the forbidden fruit, but in that case, man would have not been a free moral agent, but a mere automaton, a robot. Without freedom of choice, his obedience would not have been voluntary, but it would have been forced. There could have been no development of character. Such a course would have been contrary to God's plan in dealing with the inhabitants of the world. It would have been unworthy of man as an intelligent being and would have sustained Satan's charge of God's arbitrary rule. So we don't have a ton of insight for the backstory before the beginning of our world, but we do know who came before us and what he was like. 1 John 4:8 says, and we know it so well, God is love. And you've heard it 1,000 times and you know it by heart, but maybe some of you haven't really experienced that yet. Maybe you haven't really felt it, and our prayer Our prayer is that this week you will. You will experience that true love, that full love of God in its truest form. So God is love, and he cannot force this love, right? Love in its truest meaning, love in its truest form, doesn't chain us. Kind of like that cliche goes when a man decides to get married, right? Oh, the old ball and chain. No, no, no. Love is freeing. Love is freeing, not a ball and chain. Okay? Here we find that God, it has always been trying to establish that with us, that he wants us to be free, and he wants us to experience his love. Okay, so here we go. From that disconnect in Eden, from that disconnect when everything started to fall apart, God has patiently been working with us, drawing us ever closer to him, wanting to restore that relationship with us, wanting to bring us back into relationship with him. But with continued sin came a more obscure picture of God, came a more obscure picture of the story that's really happening around us. So finally, Jesus came to clear it all up. He became that tangible example. You guys, I quote this all the time, Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. When Jesus came, if you guys brought your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 4, Luke chapter 4. And in Luke 4, we find the beginning of Jesus' ministry, okay? He's come down, he's been baptized by John the Baptist, he went out into the wilderness and for 40 days, and now after he went through the wilderness experience, he came out preaching in different synagogues, and here in Luke 4, we pick up in Nazareth, his hometown, he comes to preach. And he said to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it is written. Here we go, if you want to follow along. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all that was being proclaimed up to that point. He was coming to redeem and for us so we could experience that freedom. But sometimes amidst the cosmic conflict, it's hard to see this love shining through, right? Sometimes in our daily life, I mean, let's be real. When we're going through our day-to-day life, and we're facing homework and tests and struggles with friends and challenges at home and challenges in our relationships, it's hard to see Christ's true love shining through amidst this cosmic conflict. But Patriarchs and Prophets says on page 33, the history of the great conflict between good and evil from the time of it first began in heaven to the final overthrow of rebellion, the total eradication of sin, is also a demonstration of God's love. Did you catch that? This story we're caught up in, this great conflict between good and evil, truth and lies, is also a demonstration of God's love. Amidst the challenges we face, we find glimmers. No, I would say we find monumental testimonies to how God is consistent and unchanging in his love for us. Despite the downfalls of our first parents, despite my constant, downfall in my personal life, right? God is always ready to restore me and bring me back to that original design, the real story that I'm meant to be a part of. So, What we also need to acknowledge is that though God knew we would make mistakes, though he knew, it wasn't a predestination situation. God knew that even though we would make mistakes, part of creating us, he put into play this action plan for redemption, this plan to restore us. And some people ask, well, was it worth it? Was it worth it? Because he knew, right? He knew that we were going to screw up. He knew that I was going to make mistakes. He knew that all the pain and the suffering that was going to go on in this world. Why did he even bother? We wouldn't know the difference, right? I wouldn't know the difference if I was never born. So why? Why would he do that? I believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, was looking down the line of history. He was looking down the line of history, and he saw Caleb's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. I don't know. You probably don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. And let's just say, you know, that God was looking and he could see that your great-great-great-great-grandfather wouldn't choose to be in relationship with him. He wouldn't choose to love him. He actually may have caused a lot of pain and suffering, but he could see further, 3, 4, 5 generations. He could see forward to Katie sitting here at Week of Spiritual Emphasis and Jordan and Elizabeth, and he could see each one of your faces, and he could see the decisions that would be made this school year 2016-17 at Highland Academy. And he said, it's worth it. There's gonna be trials, there's gonna be hard times, but somebody's gonna choose. One of them is going to choose, two of them, three of them, all of them are going to choose to be in relationship with me and have eternity with me. So this little bit of pain, this little struggle is totally worth it, totally worth it. And they'll see it too when we have eternity together. So tomorrow we're going to look at how things fell apart. It was created perfect. And then from there, we're going to look at why do we suffer and why do these things take place in our lives. We're going to look at God's plan for us and how he redeemed us. And we're going to find some really awesome answers. Here's the deal. We've talked about this pain that we feel. We've talked about how it doesn't make sense, you know, that we all, you know, what the story doesn't always make sense. It always isn't clear to us. Do you guys know this song? This is one of my favorite songs. It's a Christmas song, so pardon me playing it or referencing it in the middle of the summer, but isn't this the cry of our heart? Well, heaven surely knows that packages and bows can never heal a hurting human soul. No more lives torn apart. No more wars ever start. And time would heal all hearts. Everyone would have a friend. That right would always win. That love would never end. This is my grown-up list. Christmas list. This is my list. That everything would be restored back to its original plan. That this story would come to a beautiful close. This week we're going to be looking at this conflict, and we're going to be looking at the choices, the choice we have to make. And it's my prayer, and it's the prayer of every faculty here on campus, that you'll taste and that you'll see that the Lord is good, that the Lord is good, that he loves you, and that there's more to this story than we recognize on a daily basis. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for this evening. And I want to thank you for each student here. So often we go through our day and we don't recognize that we're like this little boy in the jungle. We've fallen away from your original plan. We've fallen away from the beautiful, peaceful picture that you had in mind for us, Lord, and that you have something so much better, and you're just waiting and wishing and hoping and praying to restore us to that original state, that we may live the life that you designed for us, which is right by your side, in friendship and in communion with you, Lord. We love you. Amen.